Greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
And your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna. Very special guests.
I just...
Brynn! And... Linguini.
I just woke up.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't. I had a day, but we should talk about drinks first.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Because of that day.
I started drinking early, exactly because of this day. I'm drinking Winehaven Stinger Mead.
Ooh.
Because I had a bottle of it at Joe's house, which is where I'm at now. Because I had a day.
Yeah.
Nice. Yay.
What are y'all drinking?
I have a Town Hall Brewery Sticker Alt. They're
easy for you to say.
I mean, yes, it is.
Is that like when you bring an alternative to a gun to a stick up?
No, that's it's margarine.
Oh.
No, it's just a stronger alt.
Margarine.
But, yeah, that's what I've got. I've got a crowler of this.
Ah.
Can you tell that James and I have been around each other more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is delightful. If you don't know Town Hall and you live in the Twin Cities, go to Town Hall. They've got some good stuff.
I'm drinking a Shaxbury Dry Cider, made in Vermont, 5.5% alcohol by volume, 100% fresh apples.
I feel like
that explains why it slapped me on the ass.
I feel like I probably should have done a cider now.
Yeah. I mean, there isn't really anything that's like... contains the waters of the rippling brooks from, and that's not, doesn't really have any, you know.
I like that Winehaven is just like, yep, we're me.
Yep.
From Minnesota.
You get what you get.
Premium honey wine from Minnesota honey.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has honey.
Yeah.
It's decent.
It's sweet.
This dry cider is quite decent.
Yeah.
Bryn, do you have a beverage?
I do. Whatever the pirate version of a hot toddy is, because I have tea and spiced rum.
Nice.
So I've been trying to figure out what it would be, like a hot something. And I have no idea what to call it.
Hot Bonnie.
I was going to say,
Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wouldn't that be with like,
no, because Anne Bonny or Anne
there.
Pirate.
Yes, I like that. So yeah. I'm drinking a hot Bonny.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Especially if you're drinking it, it's a hot Bonny. You would make a great pirate.
Mm-hmm. With your, that's a very long parrot that you have, but it's very adorable.
This makes me very happy and wish I could talk like this.
Yes.
So, Jenna,
a little eye patch on Linguini.
Oh my god, that'd be adorable.
I can't. With on the end of his tail, a little peg leg.
I'm losing it. It's too cute.
There's got to be a way to manufacture this, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Or four little peg legs, and then a hook on the end of the tail.
Just randomly sticking out in various places.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know when and where he lost them, but he had none when he got here.
Anyway, yes, Salsa.
Tell us about your day.
Oh my fucking god! What's sad is that there's only so much I can tell you about the day because some of it is just shit that can't be talked about.
Yeah.
But I started my day with an email that was incredibly stressful. And then I had another thing that happened to me that was incredibly stressful. So those two very somehow more stressful than the first thing, which was incredible. And so then, so I called my boyfriend and I was like, Joe, I'm having a day. Will you come over, Joe? Help me with some stuff because I need to get some stuff done, Joe. And so he came over. And we had dinner and he helped me with some stuff that I needed help with around the apartment. And we went downstairs to have a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And we went over by where I left my car. And my car was not there.
Oh.
I'm assuming from Joe's perspective, like I look up and I go, oh. And then I just started laughing. I didn't know what the fuck else to do with my day. Like it had just been ridiculous. And I look up and I realize like, and I had to think, like, is this where I left my car?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is where I left my car. Why is there another car where I left my car? This is not my car. This is way too small and too bright a red to be my car. And then I started laughing.
We've gone into the hysterical side of things.
I'm pretty sure Joe looked at me and was like, oh, she's fucking cracked.
Yep.
He's just like, I'm going to have to check my girlfriend into a psych ward. Like, she is done. She just lost it.
And for Joe to say that, that's like something, right?
Seriously. So I then explained to my boyfriend after laughing for like a good minute and a half. And I was like, so I parked my car right there. And he goes, that's not your car. I'm like, you're correct. It's not my car.
Nope.
Like, it was just that kind of a conversation. And then I started laughing some more. So apparently I went and I was like, because the other frustrating thing is that there's been a bunch of car stealing in my particular neighborhood recently. And I was like, did somebody steal my car? I don't even know how I feel about that right now. Like, I guess, good job, buddy. I don't even know. Like, my day is so off. I'm just like, of course my car is missing. Whatever. I was like, do I call the police? And Joe's like, check the impound lot first. I'm like, right. It could have been impounded. Okay. And it was.
At least you know where it is.
Right. Well, and I have it now.
What was it impounded for?
I had no idea. So I got to the guy behind the counter. So Joe gave me a lift to the impound lot. And I got to the guy behind the counter, and he was a sweet guy. Like, I've never been impounded before. Like, when I was married. Okay, phrase.
You haven't had a date like that once, Jenna?
I mean, when I had a marriage like that once, because Phil was in charge of getting the car to the right places and never did. So he had my car in the impound lot like three fucking times. But I've never been to the impound lot. So I get there and Joe comes with me for moral support and possibly to make sure I don't just start hyperventilating, laughing at something else. And, we get up to the guy and he is so pleasant and he was like, okay, so here's the deal. I'm like, it's my first time. I'm finally an adult. Like, whatever.
Look at jury duty.
Right? Exactly. Which I've never had jury. Oh shit. No, I didn't say that out loud.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. It's going to happen now. God damn it, James. This is your fault.
Clearly.
Yeah. Anyway. And he was like, okay. So I just need, describe your car to me. And I did. And he was like, oh, you got a Pilot. That's a big car. I'm like, yes, it is. I need it for hauling stuff.
That is the point, in fact.
Yes, that's why. And so he was very pleasant. He was like, you do this. He's like, I can't handle any ticket issues or anything like that. And I was like, what was my car impounded for? And he was like, street sweeping. And I was like, I don't remember there being any signs. And he's like, Yep, but that's what it was impounded for. So if you want to fight this on the back of this thing here, here's the number. You can call them up and you might be able to be like, I didn't see any signs, and they might get rid of it for you. And he was just so helpful. He was so helpful.
Oh, we lost you, Jenna. We can't hear you. I can't hear anybody. Why can I hear nobody? What happened? Everybody's moving their mouths, but nothing is happening. I can't hear anybody. Like, I didn't hit mute or anything like that. I just suddenly lost audio on everyone. What? What is going on? Oh, fuck. I did things to... No, it's not going to work. We're going to take a break. And we're back. We figured out whatever was going on, and by figured out, I mean restarted the stream and everything works again. So
we turned it off and turned it back on again.
Yep. So
that's it. Okay, so where was I? I was talking to this delightful individual at the impound lot, which I guess isn't supposed to exist, but I found him. He told me basically like how I might be able to contest it. And pointed out the number to me, and he was like, yeah, they're doing street sweeping all this week, so, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're going to see a lot of people. And he's like, you got to pay this amount now because of the tow truck, and I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'd never been there before, so I don't know why other people have issues. But anyway, so I paid the guy, and I got a little piece of paper that says I can get my car back, and I went to the shuttle guy. And I handed him my piece of paper, and he was delightful. he looked at my piece of paper, and he's like, wait, do you live right off the lake? I was like, yeah, I live right off the lake. And he's like, oh my God, that's so cool. How did you swing that? And I was like, oh, well, reduced rent rate because of the unrest in the area. And he's like, that's not unrest.
I know that, but don't tell my landlords.
Yeah,
right.
Great. And he's like, yeah, like further down Lake Street. And I was like, well, I moved from like basically Lake in Chicago. And he's like, ah, you moved up. I'm just like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
A local.
To the east side, as it were.
West.
To that deluxe apartment.
Yeah.
In the sky.
I mean, compared to where we were.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most things would have been upgrade.
So, does it have mice? No. Upgrade.
That's one of the other stressful things that happened today, which got me to call Joe, is I thought I heard something. And at that point, I was like, my day's just been awful. I just need a joke. So... fingers crossed, no, it still does not. But it's one of those things where I was just in such a state that, like, everything was just throwing me off. And you know what? I just need a joke.
Yeah.
I just need a joke.
To the point where you could have seen a mouse directly in front of you and stared at it and just kind of, like, throw up your hands and go, nope, and then walked away calmly.
Yeah. Point at it, not today.
I think if it had happened after the car,
yeah.
Before the car, no.
But no, like, that's fair. I meant after the car. Like, you just.
I didn't even go back to my place. Like, I picked up
that's
the phone and I talked to Joe. I was like, can I just come spend the night with you at your place? Because I don't want to deal with anything that's happening in my apartment right now.
Well, we're very glad that you can come on this show and ignore your boyfriend for 2 hours after going to his place.
The poor guy had like other things he was going to be doing with his day, and so he just gets this message as soon as he wakes up that is like, I'm freaking the fuck out, I need to talk, oh my God, can you give me a call? And he's like, can I have 30 minutes to wake up? I'm like, yes, please do your thing. Oh God, he's such a sweetheart, don't tell anybody that though. I'm going to ruin his reputation. Right. So yeah, I got my car back. I came over to Joe's. We promptly ignored each other. I played phone games. And he did online video stuff because I just needed to zone the fuck out.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Jeez.
My God.
Is that all?
I don't know. You guys, today was such a shit show. And then like, there was just little things too. Like, just tiny bullshit that was happening on top of the bullshit. And then there was other bullshit on top of that bullshit. I could fertilize a fucking farm with the amount of bullshit I got right now.
Mm-hmm. What about you, James?
Well, I'm still mentally exhausted. I took Sunday off almost completely. I watched a little bit of Muppet Show. I watched the last episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yep. And other than that, and just doing language lessons and that kind of stuff, I stayed the fuck off screens because I spent the entirety of my Saturday awake, my awake time Saturday, looking at a screen. And, you know, sometimes you watch Titanic and you're like, you know, I know that I hated this and I didn't want to go see it because I was a high school boy and rebellion, and you just like, you want to be that guy that never saw it, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not a good movie, but it's fine. It's a fine movie. And technically it's amazing.
Yeah, technically it's gorgeous.
And it's got lots of good moments in it. It's got good actors, that kind of stuff. What I was watching on Saturday was not Titanic.
Oh God.
It was the entire Twilight saga.
Mm-hmm.
Kirky and I raised enough money during our hosting shift that not only did we volunteer ourselves to watch the entire Twilight saga, but she's also getting a tattoo for either Team Edward or Team Jacob, which was hotly contested during
the movies. I have thoughts. Specific opinions.
But you know, like, good on her. She raised a ton of money. And we were very successful. We raised more than one-tenth of the entire event's donations. And so I set up the streaming rig and everything like that. Found an amazing way to do it. I'm just going to do that from now on. Obviously we couldn't stream the movie with our reactions because we didn't have licensure for it, for the saga.
Yeah.
And it would have gotten taken down like immediately.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say you didn't have the rights, but I don't think anybody should have the right to do that. So
and we didn't have the wrongs for it. We had everything all, you know, dolled up, dressed up, ready, plugged in, everything like that. And then the night before, I send Kirky a message, and I'm like, Kirky, I got really bad news. Because she had estimated the time. She was like, it's about 8 hours. And so I said, yeah, we'll wake up at this time. And then at this time, I've got a prior engagement, and we'll just do that. It turns out it's not 8 hours, and the 9 hours that we had scheduled for was not enough. It is almost 11 hours.
Jesus fuck.
And we got it to just over 10 by cutting out the credits, which I actually feel pretty bad about. But
why?
Those people worked hard on that garbage.
But we didn't get to see it anyway, so it kind of didn't matter.
No, but the thing is, we told people where they could sign in and watch it. There was a free subscription, like a free trial that you could sign up for.
Oh, okay.
In order to watch it along with us.
I missed that entirely.
And we would tell people that just occasionally. We're like, this is where we're watching it. And we could have put it into the event page and everything like that, but we didn't, because...
And I watched the first couple, and as long as you started the movie with them, it worked really well. Their commentary was pretty much, like, on point as long as they counted down from the beginning. If anything went wrong, or if you paused it or anything, it was over. There was nothing you could do about it. But... It worked really well.
And we would give people check-ins and say, like, this is how far we are through this movie when we saw that the number went up or something like that. We'd be like, all right, those of you who are just joining us, we're at this place. And then just reading the comments and things like that. And Allison Anderson was good enough to join us for, I want to say, almost the whole thing. She joined us in, like the last part of the second film. There are five, and they don't get better. they don't get better. And that 10 hours, like the moment that I was done, I had a quick, 15 minute walk outside, which was Bryn's idea. It was a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And then I got right into D&D until like 10-something p.m. So I had spent the wealth... And then I just went to bed because I was brain dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fun times.
Yeah, so the polls came back, though. She's getting a Team Jacob tattoo.
All right.
Which is wonderful of her.
Again, I have very, very specific opinions about Team Edward, Team Jacob.
Yeah. And very it's... The thing is, I have read and I have written fan fiction. And so I understand a lot of the tropes and things like that. The author the one big thing that sticks out in my mind is that the author arranged underage grooming and like pedophilia twice, and the second time it was because it was obviously more okay for her than the idea of polyamory.
Yep.
which is amazing. That's just, she's like, no, the characters have to have a magic baby that will, and it's just the whole thing. I bit into it and garbage juice sluiced into my mouth and I was like, oh, I still have 9 hours and 59 minutes of this.
I know I sent it to you and Kirky, but I told Joe what you were doing and he was like, oh, there's a therapist that does a video about this.
Mm. Oh, is there?
Mm.
Oh yeah! Oh,
I'd love to see this.
There's more than one video, and there will be more because they only got to touch on Edward.
No.
And only after she married him, though.
I get this joke.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, there's some purity culture bullshit in there. Like
yeah,
the
there
whole
is.
Thing. Yeah. The entire thing is just God.
The therapist in one of the videos, because the therapist watches this with his friend who's a cinephile, and The friend asked, well, is there anything they got right? And the therapist was like, well, if what you're looking for is a solid relationship, a lot of times it's better to start without a lot of physical intimacy and just get to know the person first and all this other stuff. And Joe and I just kind of looked at each other. We're like, yeah, but that's not what we were looking for. This is a pretty problem. We ended up in a relationship is what this is. Like, let's be clear.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
But you go.
I am Team Jacob for exactly 3/4 of the series. And that is exactly 3/4. Because the whole pedophilia thing, besides Edward and Bella, which is a teen romance trope, and I can more understand that, but like, as soon as the child is born, done. I am no longer Team Jacob. It is character slaughter and upsetting. Upsetting. Yes.
Well, and we also noticed that there's a lot of, like, magical native friend stuff going on for the entire
racism.
Movie. Are you gonna cast somebody who's native in order to play a native?
They even had him chop off his hair when he had a coming of age rite as protector of the tribe, and I'm like, wow.
I don't want to get into, like, too, because there's so much.
There's so much.
Friends, there's too much wrong with it. I will say the end. There's a big fight at the end, and it is visually kind of awesome, and like, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, oh wow, I can't believe that they did that. Yeah, just disappointment. Just like God.
At least you got it in the movie. In the book, they didn't have that whole hypothetical fight. It was just hand wavy, three deus ex machinas in a row, and then the series was done. It was awful. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I made a joke, and maybe you, Salsa and Jenna, maybe you two will understand this.
Did you mean Deus Ex Machina?
Huh?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
No. This is Twilight.
Oh, it's Deuce.
So it's
yeah.
a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. So they're saved by some inexplainable shit.
I'm grasping at anything. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about at all. And then, so I'm just desperate for some stability of anything.
Yeah, and this is like 5 to 10 minutes. I did this for 10 hours.
Salsa, stay in your place.
Okay. I'm cool with that. See,
it's safer there.
People keep telling me to get out of my house, and I'm like, no, it's safe here.
Yeah, we don't have the Twilight films in this house. I've heard that they have them outside, and I want no part of it. Yeah, that's fair. I made a joke about, like, at the end, the whole battle happens, and then they're like, that's what could have happened, but... Right, and then it just shows.
That shit?
Yeah, it was all a dream. Yeah, so then I'm like, oh, look, in the background behind the family, there's is that Patrick Duffy? So it was just like,
oh my god,
exhausting. The whole experience was really exhausting. I made a mistake in the middle of
I think watching it was the mistake, but
there was a name mentioned, and something in my head was like, oh, you know a last name for this first name, and I just blurted out the last name, and I was like, no, that was a 14-year-old child that was killed in the early 1900s because he was black. We're gonna walk that one back. We're gonna apologize for that. we're just going to say no. No. So, yeah, no, because they just, like, tired me. I was just like, oh, first name, blurt, last name.
Word association.
And then yeah. I was like, right there on the stream, I was like, you know, my brain just checked in with me, and that was not a joke to make, and I'm sorry, and I, nope. I apologize. Oh, yeah. God. I spent the rest of the day feeling bad about watching Twilight and feeling bad for that. It was just layers. Just yeah. layers. Yeah. This is the problem with doing riffing live, I think. Mm. This is
it can be a turn, yeah.
Yeah. The experience hanging out and riffing movies was really good, but the
I'm kind of glad I didn't know I could watch it with you guys.
Yeah. I wish I didn't know that either.
Oh.
Yeah.
10 hours of my life. I'm never going to need to see those again. You know, I'm sure there are people who love them, which is great for them.
Well, and that's in the therapy thing that I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
They were like, I mean, as long as you realize that this is like brain rot candy and not anything that you should apply to life ever, like,
yeah.
Like, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that was
not apply to life.
Yeah,
that was brutal. Yeah, I don't ever need to see that again. I'm a person who likes pickled herring and haggis and all that stuff, and I understand. I like things that other people don't. Cool. we found something I don't like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Salsa. Yeah. What have you been up to?
Okay, I'm going to tell my story in the style of James.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Let me get another drink.
So, you know when you're playing video games, specifically the old 80s, like, Sierra Adventure computer games, where, yeah. like, you know, you have to type in the instructions. Like, you can move your person around on the screen with the arrow keys slowly, but then you actually have to type in, like, use key on door. And then it's like, yeah. You can't do that. And you're like, fuck you, use key on lock. And it's like, okay. And now what do I do? Yeah, and then you have to, like, a separate command for turn the key in the lock or something. You know, things like that. And how those adventure games would, like, have... They would have things that you could miss at the beginning of the game. And then, like, three quarters of the way through the game, you realize you needed that thing. But it would never tell you, and it would never give you a fail state, and you would just play through the game going, la la la, I'm having a good time. And then find out that you need to basically start over from the beginning in order to... And this is before the internet. So you couldn't just look this shit up. You had to discover this. And it was very frustrating. And sometimes you would get that little booklet that had, like, the red... You know, scrawl over the top of it, and you had to use the red light blocking, like, piece of paper in order to read it. Or you had to call up a phone number and ask them a question. I don't know if you remember those.
I do.
All right.
And it cost money.
Yeah, but it's so, like, my mother would be like, "You get one question a day," and you know, and so we would, like, really make sure that we had the right question. My story has nothing to do with any of that. What I did...
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Exactly. What I did on Friday was we have been looking to get some sort of playset or tower of some sort for my kids for our backyard. Because my kids are, you know, old enough that they're going crazy. They can't be in the house. They need some activity to do. And we're like, we'll get them one of those towers with, like, you know, they can climb up and slide and swing or whatever it is the fuck they want.
Yeah.
But the problem
is, injure themselves on. Yeah, that is outside.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, give a little bit of mortal terror into their lives.
Yeah, and you don't have to clean up the blood stains
exactly.
Inside.
It blends in with the grass. You never have to know. Anyway, our backyard's not very big, and so trying to find the right something has been difficult. And we're basically like, well, maybe we'll just build one ourselves. But lumber, really expensive right now. So my wife has been checking out Craigslist and things like that, and she found one. Found one in Stillwater. It looked great. It was for a really good price. So we're like, cool, we just have to go disassemble the thing and haul it away. It's like, not a problem, we've got a trailer. But we still have to go and disassemble the thing.
Right.
So on Friday, right after work, we grabbed a shit ton of tools, piled into the car with me, my wife, and the kids, and drove out to fucking Stillwater, where we tried to keep the kids occupied with helping us for like 10 minutes before we just sent them to the car with one of our phones and Netflix. While my wife and I proceeded to disassemble this tower. And we spent 3 hours on Friday night just disassembling this thing. And this thing is solidly built. Like this, it's pretty good. The problem is, I was hoping to be able to just roll up, basically kind of chunk it apart in pieces and then haul the pieces away. But this thing was built in such a way, they built it with lapping boards, like you should. But what that meant was the only way to get to, like, the bolts and stuff holding things together was to remove facings and trim and stuff like that. So I basically had to disassemble this thing into pieces, like individual pieces as opposed to into chunks. So we're burning through our drill batteries left and right, you know. We had two drill batteries. We immediately burned through those. So then we're using hand tools to try to get some of the bolts off and, you know, hammers and stuff like that. 3 hours we're at this. And we got most of it disassembled. We got the roof off of it, the slide and the ladder. We got the platform taken down. It's a 6x6 it's a 6x6 footprint. And so the platform itself, that it's about, you know, neck height to me. We got that off in one piece. That's a fucking heavy piece. But we got that down. So all that was left was basically the uprights and the base by the time we finished. So that was a fucking lot of work. Got that done, hauled it home, got home, unloaded the cart because we had to go back the next morning. You know, slept like the dead, woke up the next morning, hopped back in the car, drove back, finished disassembling it. Took only about half an hour to finish disassembling it the second time, because like I said, it was just basically the uprights at that point. Put that in the car.
And you have drill batteries, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We had fresh batteries overnight. So we got back. I'm fucking beat at this point, because I just disassembled an entire fucking tower. And so we get home, but we're not done, because my sister-in-law and her husband have just bought a new house. They have a deck in their backyard that needed to be ripped out, because this deck was not...
And they couldn't have waited?
No, because the people that were coming to install the fence on Monday. And the deck wrapped around the house, around the side, right where they were going to put part of the fence.
Because
it has no fence in the backyard right now. But this deck was in bad shape. Like it looked... Like you walk out there and you go, oh, this is a really nice deck. But if you look closely... And you, like, look underneath it, you realize it's rotted out, it's sitting on top of dirt, it's... It was not bolted to the house. Like, it was... There was some problems with it.
yeah.
And so
to say the least.
Yeah, so I spent the rest of Saturday disassembling a deck. this deck was fucking huge. It took up, like, two-thirds of their yard. It was fucking gigantic. I'm serious. This deck was almost the same size footprint as the fucking house. It was so goddamn huge. So fucking huge. Way too big. Way too big.
Well, they spent all their money on the wood that they could have used for knowing what the hell to do.
Like, you could have an entire fucking barn dance on this deck and still have room for the band. But we got that disassembled and torn apart, and I couldn't lift a mug of beer at that point. I was so fucking tired.
They had to put a straw in it for him.
And which doesn't help because my thumb has been giving me problems recently.
So you can't reach over and sip at the straw. Oh, you need a crazy long bendy straw.
I don't know. Beer helmet. I would say a month or two ago already. Like, it's been a while. I did something to my thumb, and it's still not fine.
Sad day.
Like, when I exert myself or something like that, I get a pain. Like, I can't bend or manipulate my thumb on my right hand, which, you know, great. And so I don't know. I think I may need to go see a doctor about that, because I might have a torn ligament or something.
Do that thumb. Shit. Go see the doctor.
So. So that's why I was asleep probably this afternoon, because I'm still recovering from that. That was a lot of fucking... I got done with work today, and I went upstairs, and I crashed on the couch, and I woke up at about 5:30.
Good on you.
No kidding.
Anyway, we've been talking for a long time. We should take a break.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Fuck it. Fuck that. Fuck the other thing. Fuck that third thing. Fuck this thing as well.
And the fourth.
And the eighth. Fuck it all. Just fuck it. Fuck me, fuck, fuck, fuck. I think I've said fuck more times today than I have, in the past month combined. And that's really impressive.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Bryn. And I was going to say it. If you didn't, Salsa, you could... I was totally going to make that joke.
No, it's not a joke. It's reality.
Here we are.
Yep.
That's one thing that Salsa has.
Yep, there's a reason we keep him around. That's not it.
No.
But there is a reason.
So anyway, we have a guest. We should probably pretend to pay attention to him.
Hey, Lindsay, how are you doing?
Me? I have a very good thing, a very bad thing, and a very in-between thing.
Is this two truths and a lie, but depressing?
Something like that. The problem with two truths and a lie is that I do so many random things that it's kind of hard-pressed to come up with those at this point.
I kind of know exactly what you mean, because the two truths are easy. It's finding an outlandish lie.
That. I... So,
especially since I've spent the last 10 years talking about myself on this show, so it's all of my weird shit is already public.
my outlandish lie, and I'm telling everybody now, so I'm gonna have to come up with something else. But my outlandish lie is I dated a Mormon.
Ooh.
You crazy girl, you.
Because nobody is like it's the one thing, like, because I had a date like that once, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the problem, though, is that compared to, like, spinning fire and teaching parkour is, like, super normative.
I mean,
that is a problem.
My truths are pretty fucking...
Your truths are pretty fucking...
I mean, I think spinning fire is one of my truths as well, so, you know, I'm right there with you. I got it.
And that's the new t-shirt for the podcast. Hashtag, my truths are pretty fucking...
Yeah, I like that, actually. No, I had to preface this year to my students, like, hey, I'm going to say that I do a lot. I promise you I've done all of them. Like, for real. play fighting isn't allowed in my school. And so I tell everybody, like, I am the only person in the entire school certified to play fight. So I am literally the only person with the certification because nobody else does. I can't play fight either. So no play fighting at our school. The extremely good thing is little Linguini is 300 grams. We got him when he was 100 grams, and he has tripled in size.
He's a growing string.
And Linguini is your snake?
Yes.
Yes, he is our banana ball python.
Linguini Rigoletto.
For those that do not know.
He was born July 15th, so he's not even a year old yet, but he has tripled in size, and he is the sweetest little string. We got a cuddly string. And it was by random selection because I bought them online. Yes.
How Jenna, do you expect Linguini to get?
Because he's a male, he'll get 3 to 5 feet. There are some males that I've seen that are about 6 feet as well, give or take. He is already over 32 inches though.
Okay.
So, he's had one perfect shed and it was 2 sheds ago, and it was 32 inches. So he is now technically bigger than 32 inches. Not that he would ever let me take a yardstick to him at this point. That's just not going to happen. But, like, he's a growing boy. Just
I never tried to, like, just follow with a tape measure. Just like,
yes, it doesn't work. He wraps around it.
Yeah, like, Taylor's tape, nothing. Yeah.
He's mine now. We recently got him a toy.
His mental enrichment.
Yes, when he's in shed, you can tell a snake is in shed because they go into the blue, which is when there's fluid between their eye caps and their eye bobs, and it's a blue color because they don't have eyelids. So their eye caps are the things that he's going for my headphone. I told you he'd get to a mic. Do you have something to say,
he's
sweetie?
He's whispering into it, yeah.
He is. He's saying that he wants his toy.
Yeah.
He's really grateful for it and that he loves me. Because I said so and I need that right now.
Yeah.
So he goes into the blue. He has blue eyes about a week before he actually sheds. And we can't really touch him between then and when he sheds. And it's really frustrating and awful. So I turn on the little lights on my bookshelf where his tank is, and we call it Snekmas Eve. And because on Snekmas, he unwraps himself.
That is fucking
adorable. And so, so we were just waiting for Snekmas.
First-time snake owners are adorable.
Yeah. But look at him. Look at him.
He's pretty adorable.
He's giving my cheeks little kisses right now, I don't know how.
He's cute and all, but he's no Loki.
Thank you.
I understand.
But he what?
Salsa had
he's
a
no Loki.
Had a snick.
Oh, that's fine. He's also like my familiar, so
yeah. Bryn doesn't get to have furry pets to cuddle.
No, I don't. I am allergic to everything but sugar gliders and salamanders and fish and snakes, so that's what I have, except the sugar gliders. That's for later when we have a place. Anyways, so my baby, this is the first animal I've been able to cuddle in a decade. right?
Mm-hmm.
My salamander has ammonia on him, and the fish don't like to cuddle. I've tried. So
yes,
there's
like
that.
She was changing something in one of the fish tanks, and the fish like sidled up to her hand, and she was like, "Do you think that Kipo is trying to snuggle me right now?" And I was like, "I don't."
Have you seen
yes.
like the pictures of the little boy who was like cuddling with his pet fish in bed, and
oh,
the parents
no.
were like, "Oh shit, this is really adorable, but how do we tell him that he killed his pet?" Fuck.
Oh no.
Fuck. Oh boy.
Very real. Yeah.
So anyways, I have a linguine.
Yep.
But we have a toy for him now. We gave him a toy for Snekmas. And it is like a little DNA loop thing. And anytime that we put it near him, he's like, "Oh, it's mine," and he like weaves his self into it.
Oh
to
my
the
God,
point
adorable.
To the point where we have to put the whole damn thing back into the tank because he will not unwind from it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he can't, he won't.
Yeah.
And then once he's in the tank, he's like, "Oh, okay." And then he like slithers away back into his hive. But he also, I don't know how much James has talked about Linguini, but he also like if he hasn't had enough snuggle time, he will. When I try to put him back in the tank, he will literally try to climb up my arm or grab the side of the tank with his little chin to try to avoid getting put back because he wants more time out.
Yeah, when he's ready to go back in, you just, like, plunk him back in
and
there.
And then he's like,
he's
oh, cool.
Fine. Yeah.
But, like, there are some days when he's just like, "No, Mom, I want to snuggle. I've been
like
good."
Like a toddler at nap time.
Yes.
Yeah. And usually there's about a 10-minute grace period. If he's been super wiggly and I'm like, "All right, you're getting put back." He's like, "No." And then there's a 10-minute grace period where he remembers that he's supposed to be good. And then he gets all wiggly again. Just like a toddler.
Sounds like he's overheating. Sounds like he's overheating.
No.
In the tank? Or?
When he's getting wiggly.
Oh, no.
No.
We
set him on... we had to take him to the vet at one point, and they had, like, a perfect little, like, snake
and
warming pad.
This was in, like, February.
No,
yeah.
I know, but
and then there's
when,
the
you're,
ice
when
cold
you're holding
examination
him, when they,
table.
When they get wiggly like that, it's often because they're warm and they need to cool off a little bit.
No, that's fair. That's fair, but also, the same kind of wiggliness happens. Like, we put, like, in the middle of February, we put him on the heating pad that they had out because they knew we had a snake, and he's just like, "Nope," and goes on and goes and explores.
Went to go look at a bunch of stuff.
Well,
yeah.
I mean... He's a ball. He doesn't like flat surfaces.
But if he's real rambunctious and she hands him to me, I'll just curl him into my hands and tuck him against my chest.
Yeah.
And then he's
out.
Just like at first he's like, "No, I don't." Mm-hmm. And then he'll just pass out.
Yep.
So that's my something good. He's 300 grams. Yes, he is. And then my something bad is that we're back in school. The only reason why I did not quit my job is because I am vaccinated fully. I was fully vaccinated 2 days before we went back in person.
Yeah.
So at least I had that. And... So there's a lot of freedom that comes with, like, being vaccinated and everything, like, personally. But I'm so nervous about my students. Our district's cases are on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker, I know. And it has been really hard witnessing bad decision after bad decision when, like, and I don't mean to sound pretentious or anything, but I literally helped to start a school that was based on independent learning. And when the district says, "Oh, we're going to help them become independent learners in distance learning," and then they fucking don't, and then I try to change it, and I can't. It's just heartbreaking. Then they're like, well, kids are doing well in distance learning. I'm like, you fucking think? Anyways, so there's that. We're back in person. I'm angry as fuck and, you know, whatever. But the medium thing, the exciting thing is I'm taking circus.
Yeah.
I have done parkour, but I haven't done circus. I've taken, like, a couple of silks classes before, but, like, kind of always written them off, like, the beginner ones. I've written them off because I can't climb at all, and I couldn't before. But, like, before quarantine, I almost had 2 push-ups. And I know that sounds pathetic, but that was the most I had ever been able to do in my life. And then quarantine happened, and now I'm coming back to Lyra, and I'm doing Lyra and I'm doing silks. And it is so frustrating that I have lost so much capability. And like, I know that it totally makes sense. And you've been sediment for like 12 months by no fault of your own. So of course it makes sense that you would, you know, you're working on it now. And, you know, before you know it, you're going to have that strength back, and doing it more is going to be able to help you. And I'm just like, I don't think you quite understand. I have been in quarantine for 5 years before, and part of my drive once I got out was to prove to myself that I could do anything that a normal person could do.
Right.
So, like, I understand this all mentally, but also. So that's what I'm doing right now. Like, yeah.
I mean, there's definitely an emotional component to it, especially if you have, honestly, like the kind of background you have, there's like a trauma associated with not being able to do it.
Shocker.
Right? Yeah.
It's like,
so like, it's not just your average day, whatever, like there's more going on.
Yep. And it's been really interesting coming out of quarantine, because like I have CPTSD from my first time in quarantine, and just the way now that there's sunshine and that I have been vaccinated, my body is able to start processing some of it.
Sure.
And like seeing myself, being able to see how my body is reacting in current time is really interesting. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like crying out of frustration isn't outside of my, like, I know what it's like to cry out of frustration. It's just frustrating continuing to go through it. But hey, I get to play on a big metal hoop and learn how to climb up like pieces of fabric from the ceiling. So there. Ha.
I mean, I've always been curious. Here's the thing, is that I have, amongst my many issues, and they're wide and vast and varied, but amongst them has been a fear of heights. I also have inner ear issues where going upside down can be an issue.
Yep.
Like, and there are things like that. So, like, I look at things like silks and floating hoops way up in the air, and I'm just like, oh, that looks so cool. I want to try it, but no, there's no way I ever want to do that.
Are those things that could be improved over time, like baby steps, or no?
Possibly the heights thing. I did, when I got the second hit to the head, my desperation on heights kind of tamed down a bit. I used to have problems being on the 4th floor of the Mall of America.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
There have been times when I don't consider myself afraid of heights, and I've looked over that railing and been like, no.
Yeah, it's like second floor going over the little glass brick things.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
A bunch of stuff like that. And that kind of like toned down after the second hit to the head. So like, I can take the escalators at the Mall of America now, so that's great.
This sounds like something that would happen to Gomez Adams. Like, he gets a giant whop in the head, and all of a sudden he's absolutely terrified of heights, and then he gets another one, and he's like, oh, fine, who wants to go hang gliding? Like,
right. No, it's an actual thing that happens, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. there are studies on, like, different things. Like, there was a guy that had a spike through his head, and it changed his personality.
Yeah. Right?
I did a talk on him now, and I can't remember his fucking name. I think it was Alan. But so like the heights thing might be negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
But the inner ear issues that I have, like I'm wearing headset right now for the benefit of the podcast, but like wearing headsets for prolonged periods of time can actually fuck with my ears.
Oh. Interesting.
Flying on a plane with the pressure changes.
Sure.
Just torture. Like it was like a spike through my brain. Like my ears and just this pain, this shooting, stabbing pain. So like I have this
thing that you have a new car.
What?
It's a good thing that you have a new car then.
Well, I'm glad I got it out of impound. but yeah, like the inner ear thing is just not going to be a thing. So like going upside down is just not.
That would be tough because like 99% of the way that I get down from silks is to like hop to the ground, hop, hop, fall over. So like with my leg in various heights of being up.
Yeah.
Maybe not upside down, but like definitely crashing. So
yeah. There have been five things where I've done where I've had to climb on somebody and hang upside down off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And make it look like I'm doing it all intentional and with like fight purpose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Those are my strongest acting times because it's during those times where my entire brain is like woobly. I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna die. No, okay, I finished this move. Great, let's go.
It's not called acting.
Yeah.
No, that's called real life.
Supposed to look like I'm in charge during those moments. So it was extra acting.
That's fair. Yeah, when I should have been in high school, I had a acting class. It was a community, you know, like acting class for like high school age kids. And this one of the old kids who used to be a part of that theater, you know, when they were in middle school and high school, went to this theater school over in New York. Comes back.
Ooh la la.
It's a 2-week intensive. At like day 4 of 8, we're doing an improv scene where we're on a train and, you know, oh, you know, how do you act as your person? Da 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 da. And somebody starts wheezing and I'm like, oh, can I help you, ma'am? And she goes, Bryn, this is real. And I'm like, oh God. And everybody scatters and figures out what the fuck to do because they don't have their inhaler. Our teacher, and then eventually, after like 3 people have run out of the building and everything has happened, the teacher says, all right, all right, all right, we can stop. He had colluded with her to create a believable, like, panic situation. And he had told us at the beginning of the day specifically to turn off our phones and put them away and don't touch them for the class. And none of us went for our phones. And like when he gathered us back, he was like, all right, so how did you feel? How did you react in a panic? What, you know, so this is basically this was a tool in your toolbox to be able to use in the future in order to call upon for characters to know how you act and how you differentiate from your character and how they act. And I'm just like, excuse you?
I have about 15 different ethics issues on this, and I can only... I only have so much time. Like,
I gotta tell you, I'll never forget. But also, yeah.
Unless you...
One, Edward is 100 plus, and Bella is under 18. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that he's going high school to high school. Like, this is gross. This is disgusting. I don't... Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, unless you and your parents signed something that said, like, I may be...
Emotional abuse.
Whatever, stuff.
Yeah.
Well, even that, like...
Emotional distress. But,
Child will no longer distress. Be able to trust people.
Right.
And several, like, he acknowledged
I started off that way, so whatever.
When he was done, he acknowledged, like, this is a hard thing, and this is what my professors have done, and this is how we do this, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, three or four kids dropped the course. I didn't, actually. But at the end of the week, the last day... I'll never forget this part. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually kind of tipping into drama therapy. At the end of an intensive week, 2 weeks like that, you know, you know everybody pretty intimately. And so he had us do an exercise where one person was at the other end of the room and we were on the opposite. And we had to think of somebody that we wanted to say something to that we never could. Either they died or we can't because of this reason or that reason. And we had to say it to them to the person across the room, as if they were that person over and over and over again. And we couldn't step forward. As we stepped forward, and if it wasn't believable, the teacher, Adam was his name, the teacher would tell us, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you. More, I don't believe you." And like, if it wasn't enough, he would actually pull on your shirt to hold you back, to force you to struggle forward. And for every single person, we ended in tears, and the person on the other side of the room was there to like hold us. And I know, like, and he gave us the option not to do it.
Okay, that's important.
Which is important. And, you know, I was still in what should have been high school, so I had a lot of feelings about this. But, like, I remember it being so powerful. And if I had to, I thought it was very powerful, and I really came away from that camp with two really deep memories. One probably not ethically great, but the other one was really just like good and powerful, you know?
Okay.
It was interesting. Well,
as a director.
Oh boy.
Brynn, you've been directed by me. Although that was like a cram session. Jesus Christ, we have to get this done. They're not my typical directing overall, but
that also ended in the tears, didn't it? But it was directed tears.
Yeah, I mean, that was what was supposed to happen.
And it was supposed to happen, right?
So that's great. Like, as a director, I understand that I am sometimes putting my performers in situations that can be very difficult for them.
Right.
The biggest one was probably Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, wherein I had a black actress play a racist white dude. And I did that for a multitude of reasons, because when you have an older white dude play that character, howdy. That's a different type of tenure than what we were going for with that show overall.
Right.
But it's really important to be able to have those conversations to be like, absolutely, are you okay with this? Is this something you can do? Are you willing to? And to be able to say, these are the reasons why we want to try this thing.
Yeah.
And to get that buy-in. And I think it is so important to get that actor buy-in. She did say, like, at the end of it, she was like, you know, I actually found it to be very empowering, which I'm like, oh, thank God. Because me right. like asking somebody to do this is like, ugh. But like it is that like kind of walking through it thing.
Yeah, and
listening to your experience, and
he didn't fucking do that at all.
Yeah, like there's a part of me that's like, buddy.
I mean, like looking at it now, he was a college student who was super excited about like the shit that he was learning and like experiencing in okay. a very visceral way, and wanted to be able to share that with other, with young actors and stuff in an sure. intensive way that we weren't prepared for, because this was just a community theater. Like this was Pied Piper community theater. You know?
I would never ask a teenage black actress to play.
Right. Ugh. Right. Exactly.
That kind of teacher-student authority thing.
Yeah.
You have that understanding of this is a shared thing. Yep. Oh, God.
Yep. And these things were being enacted upon him as a college mm-hmm. student. But for him, I don't think he quite understood that him being in those classes and signing up specifically for this type of theater training
sure.
is giving consent. Whereas we weren't aware that that was even a possibility. So there wasn't right. an under, like he had told us it was going to be, you know, intense, but that doesn't mean anything
yeah.
to teenagers who have done community theater, you know? So
it's on a daily basis. There's a difference.
In, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as a teacher, I'm just kind of like, I'm looking back on it now for the first time in a very long time. And I'm like, holy shit. What a fucking asshole.
I've got good things out of it though. Like, I'm glad that there was a good experience that happened.
But like, it was the last one I really liked, the one where it was the walking towards mm-hmm. somebody and saying the thing over and over. I really liked that one, but also we had already given consent to continue in his class, whereas right. he should have given us a choice of consent for the first thing that happened.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
that was a lot of random shit all at once.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the things we enjoy about you, Brynn.
I told my kids today that I have ADHD, and a couple of them perked up, and they're like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah, can you tell?" And like three or four kids were like, "Uh-huh." Oh, there's that.
I will say there was no, because that's going to take too long, and I'm sure we've got to be getting close to the end of this segment.
That's fair.
I have a thing. No.
No, I don't.
That. I was an adult. It was fine.
See, James, that's how you do it.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Jenna, can you make sense of what Salsa is saying? Because he's full of nonsense.
James, it's a ramp. And, like, because there's an incline, but it's not really okay. an incline.
Right.
So, like, it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, like, flat on the ground. But, like, you have to...
Okay.
But it's... Yeah.
So what I'm getting out of this is that Salsa is wrong, but maybe not about this specifically.
Sure.
All right. Well, cheers,
I mean, isn't
to that
just a life blanket statement?
I so say we all know. Like,
what do you think, Linguine?
I think Linguine says it's just time to take a break.
Yep.
Linguine has
you
good ideas.
You could hear him.
I know snakes.
That's true.
That's very true.
Hi, baby.
And his body language is clearly saying, we're going to take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Attaboy.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Brynn, and this is Linguine.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
I leaned forward like I was leaning forward into my regular mic.
I think all three of us did, and I don't know about you guys, but it lined up perfectly for me for the audio. I was
like, well, I don't know. It all depends on what happened on Salsa's end. normally my mic is just like right off camera, so I lean forward into it. And I lean forward into a mic that doesn't exist.
By the way, speaking of on Salsa's end and things Salsa's been doing, Salsa has been reclaiming the AON lab. Because things are moving forward, and it's only a matter of time before we start recording in the lab again. So
I got my first vaccination on Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
That's what I was going to ask. Where is everybody in their vaccination stations?
I got another one coming yet.
Yeah.
I will be fully past my 2 week mark by Memorial Day weekend. Mm.
But I mean, I've been using this as my office and my son's school room for the last year. And it was getting a bit messy. So I was like, I should start cleaning in here. And so I have, because I was like, we're going to be back here in the lab someday. And I want to look like a disaster area. So
that is very exciting.
But that is neither here nor there. What is here is a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us. Oh, sorry.
Damn it. I did it again. Whatever.
What did you do? Oh.
I leant forward for a mic that isn't there.
Gotcha.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... James.
Oh, God. Okay. Placing bets. Salsa?
Yes.
How many are so incredibly esoteric that there is no way we could ever get the contact?
Six.
Four.
Ooh. Sticks is a really good answer, actually.
Sticks is a great answer. I'm really upset that I didn't come up with that answer.
Right? I'm going to say only two. But one of them is one that we are going to argue at length as to what the actual context is, even though it's provided.
At least.
Yeah. I'd like to place a bet that at least one of these, you assholes are going to be like, no, when you get the context, you're going to be like, no, fuck off. That's not even, that makes no sense. And you're an
Jenna,
idiot
we,
and fuck off.
Do we pay out now or when it actually happens?
When it actually happens.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We all have our imaginary dollars on hand. Let's go.
All right.
I'm going to bet that at least three of them I will remember to do the ding.
Okay. Question number one.
I'm going to bet that at least one of them, Linguine, is going to interrupt.
Fair enough. Question number one is thick or bent? Thick or bent?
Por que no los dos?
Right.
High five, Jenna. Yeah. I think we both have had a date like that once.
Oh, I mean, to various degrees on either side. Anyway, so thick or bent? Ah, this is going to be the one that pisses me off too. I can already tell. Seems like
I'm going with bent. I find trees to be a lot more interesting when they are bent and gnarly as opposed to just huge,
like a bonsai
thick redwoods. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good call. Well, now I can't think of anything else. So
you're too busy thinking of penis, aren't you?
Mostly, yeah. Yes. Outside of penis, the only other thing I can think of now is trees.
Yeah. Inside a penis is sounding.
No, you've been talking to Joe again. All right.
This was also a repeated theme on the awful copter was that every conversation ended in sounding.
Oh.
And when she thinks of penis, she thinks of impounding.
Aha.
Oh. Oh, now I've just got. Oh.
Oh. I'm going to say bent because two insults are you are thick or get bent, and I like get bent better.
Oh,
that's really good.
I thought thick was supposed to be a compliment.
Different.
Well, no. Different things. So there's thick body, like curves and shit, and then there's thick as in you're stupid.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like thick Kevin.
No. I got it, James.
Yeah. All right.
Please explain it some more.
Jeez, you're like you're like my daughter.
That might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
It possibly.
The zoom in of James's face on that was good. Like little puppy face. Like, yeah. Was adorable. I'm biased, but adorable.
Get bent is a pretty fantastic insult. It's like it doesn't mean anything, but it's very evocative at the same time.
Yeah.
It is. And it has those nice, juicy plosives.
Oh, yeah. It's the guttural jump. Yeah.
Get bent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is me trying to understand James's esoteric brain. All right.
When you stare into the abyss makes you cookies.
I like cookies. So anyway, would you prefer a coat hanger that is thicker and able to handle more weight, or has the little bent notches thing to be able to hold up your spaghetti straps?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I will say I have more of the bent ones. Because if I absolutely have to, I can double up on coat hangers to be able to hold the weight of a winter coat. Whereas spaghetti straps, if you don't have a little thingy to hold the straps,
you gotta
just
have it. Yeah.
Or fuzzy. The fuzzy ones will hold spaghetti straps.
It's a little harder. The little satin ones, not as much. And that's what they do now is they use the satin ribbon for the hang-ups for the dresses.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That's not what I'm thinking of, but continue.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm going to say bent.
So we've got three for bent, right?
Oh, I think so.
Sure.
My vote is also bent. Okay. question number two. Soft or jiggly?
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm going to try to channel James on this one.
Oh, okay.
So you know when you're assembling like a balsa wood model. You know, the kind that are the pre-cutouts, and all you've got to do is pop them out and then sand the edges to make sure they're nice and soft. And
well, this has nothing to do with that.
And they're always a little bit Like most of the pieces line up exactly, but every so often there's one piece where you need to kind of, like, alter it just a tiny little bit, otherwise it doesn't quite fit. I'm going with soft.
Damn it, I beat you to that punchline.
Yep.
Oh, wasn't hard.
I'm sorry, Salsa. I apologize.
It's worth it. You
his delivery was ground shipping when we wanted expressed.
Exactly, because I was channeling James.
I am making business cards for you, and that is what they are going to say.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about it. Plus, then I also have business cards, which is great.
Right? Like, what was the fucking question?
Soft or jiggly.
So I've been joining the world of soap making.
Oh.
And there are a lot of different types of soap that you can make.
What?
Right? What do you say?
So fuck.
You can make soft soaps, which are kind of hardish, but like still kind of a little, like if you put your finger on them, they'd kind of sink in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a firm jello.
Makes me think of shea butter.
Yeah, actually, in fact,
a nice lotion.
I have a good amount of shea butter. And in fact, Brit, I have shea butter that I will be experimenting with on my first cold process. So what? Also almond oil. Hello, my baby. there are softer soaps, which are very much so like the shea butter, but in soap form kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also have, there's a type of soap that you can make that is kind of like a jello, which is more like you just kind of grab a glop of it. It's like somewhere in between soap and like hand soap where it's liquid and you can squirt it out.
Mm.
I have no desire to work with the jello jiggly stuff, so I am going to go soft.
I'm going with soft because I prefer jello pudding to jello jello.
Mm. Also that.
James, I ask you, have you seen my thighs recently?
Oh, this is a dangerous area.
Thankfully, I have.
Yes.
He's smiling giddily. No, I am going to say... I'm a belly dancer, so I have to say jiggly. Because if it's between just soft hips and jiggly, you can see more of the moves that's happening if you are jiggly. Actually, my belly dance teacher was given an ass for her birthday.
Ooh.
Because she has no ass. So they gave her a strap-on ass to put underneath her costume so that she had something to jiggle.
I never understood shoulder shimmy.
Yeah.
Until I had boobs.
Until you had, right, exactly. Otherwise, it's just kind of like the punching of the shoulders is legitimately just like punching.
My shoulders now. Yeah.
And also, Linguini says that he prefers soft cheese boys to jiggly cheese boys because he had a bad experience with jiggly cheese boys before.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's had bad experiences with jiggly mice. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So says the Linguini.
So soft.
Yeah, I would also choose soft. So again, we're all four of us. Oh,
no,
three of us
jiggly.
And then one jiggly. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Linguini right. Said soft, which is where the extra soft.
That is, yeah.
I'm paying attention.
So, question number three.
Oh, you're almost done.
Wet or dry?
Oh. Wet?
I think we know the obvious answer to this.
Ben Shapiro has entered the chat.
I prefer a nice, dry, powdery snow. It's just like a wetter snow. You get like much better snowballs for snowball fights, but that powdery snow, you can go snowboarding on that. Just like a
dream.
You go down the Alps on powdery snow. It's the best.
You know why I don't like powdery snow and why I prefer wet snow? Because the temperature is warmer if you're getting wet snow. And I like it warm. And fuck you.
Another reason for me to like dry.
Where do you live again?
I live
indoors.
Well played.
To be fair, I did move south from the
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah,
she moved south for the winter.
No, I moved south to Quint City from Lucia.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty warm down there.
Oh, yeah, she's a real snowbird, yeah, don't you know.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I would say... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, wet. Okay. Pretty much any context, honestly.
So we've got a dry, we've got a wet.
I'm going to say wet. Because I would much prefer to have a torrential downpour than a dry day almost any day. Some nice thunder and lightning going on. And Linguini prefers wet because it helps with humidity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he doesn't like baths. So
That's very true.
As long as it's not a wet bath, then it's wet.
Okay.
I myself will choose wet.
All right.
Question what? Number four. Silver, clear, or rainbow?
You bastard. The fuck?
You're a cheater.
I was told that a fast five is a series of questions followed by the context.
James?
Shh. We can't call him Shush. He's the question giver. although now that he's given this ridiculous question. So silver, clear, or rainbow? So I'm going back to this soap making. I don't know if I've told you guys, but I've been making soaps. So I've already done clear. I haven't done silver yet, although that's kind of a pain in the ass. We'll see what happens. But my next venture is going to be making layered cold process soaps. Artisanal soaps. Right. And so I was thinking, like, well, what comes in layers?
Oh, no.
Not that.
Gross.
Pride flags. Not just rainbow pride flags, but, like, other flags. In fact, I'm so excited about making gay soap. this is going to be... I have to try a couple of natural loaves first, but then I think my next thing is going to be making gay soaps, where it is pride flag, various other queer flags. Joe has some next-door neighbors that's like, they're just a gay house. They're delightful. One of them recently had top surgery. It's fantastic.
One of my friends is about to get top surgery. I'm so excited for him.
That's so exciting.
So yeah. And I asked them, I'm like, so I'm thinking of making gay soaps. And they're like, oh my God, this is the best idea ever. So now I have to which is why I said it out loud, so that now I have to do it. So I'm going to go rainbow, because that will be my next project. I've already done a clear. I'm not ready to try doing any kind of metallic-y like soaps.
Mm-hmm.
Rainbow is the next one on my docket, quite literally. How's that for esoteric for you, son
All right.
of a bitch?
No, I'm going to try channeling James again.
Oh God. We only have one podcast.
It was a warm spring morning. When I first truly thought about my anus. And it was clear, see what I did there, that the answer was silver.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That was beautifully channeled. Although I feel like Joe may have snuck in there a little bit.
There was a little Joe in there. You're right. You're right.
As soon as you went to anus, I'm like, not.
I mean,
there was a little Joe in there. Yeah.
Okay. What'd I miss?
You're missing so many things.
Probably. Probably a working pancreas being one of them. I'm going to say rainbow because this is my first year officially out as queer.
Yay!
And I'm super excited about it. And
so you're going to need gay soaps too.
I really am. And the thing is, like, I've slid into queerness so slowly like, I was poly, and that's the thing, but, like, now I'm officially biromantic, and blah, 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 and demi, and lithromantic, and ace, so, like, I'm finally kind of, like, seated in my queerness, and...
I have to get you some of those non-standard queer soaps.
I mean, you could... I have two people that I'm dating right now who are demi.
Okay.
My sweetie is trans, and so, like, lots of gay soaps.
Gay soaps all around.
Gay soaps.
Every gay soap.
Every single gay soap. Yay.
All right. So rainbow?
Rainbow.
Okay.
I chose rainbow as well.
All right.
Question number 5. Bone or bang?
What?
At 4th of July celebrations,
mm-hmm.
I prefer gnawing on the bones of the barbecue over mm-hmm. watching the fireworks.
Oh, God.
That's surprisingly straightforward.
Mm-hmm. So probably not.
I wasn't channeling James that time. I was actually being me.
I mean, if it's that context, I would also go bone. given most other context, I would probably still go bone.
In Mystery Science Theater 3000, one of my favorite continual jokes is when there is a child on screen, they go bang. I'm gonna have to go with bang. Also, when I was doing my audition for getting licensed in, God, I can't remember names, but I did my unarmed fight. I was Harley Quinn, and I had a bang gun. I had a gun, and then I pulled the trigger, and a little flag that said bang came out of it. And so I have a particular affinity to bang versus bone.
Mm. Mm-hmm. She don't eat meat, but she sure like the bone.
Oh, doom.
I can't wait to hear what this sounds like on Skulls.
It's pretty awful. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've accepted this.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great when we're synced up either.
So, Bone Bone Bang James?
I had a lot of difficulty choosing this one, but I think I have to go with Bone.
All right. Oh my God, is that five? Did we do it?
Good.
Who is that for, and why do they deserve
division,
it?
One division.
Because they're not going to get it any other way.
That's
true.
So for me, okay, cool.
Yeah. It was just for the whole segment in general.
Yeah.
All right.
Segment in general. All right. Your context is... Question number one. Thick or bent? In a professional email, when emphasizing text, do you prefer bold or italic?
I will say I probably go bold more often, especially if I am emphasizing text.
Mm-hmm.
If I need somebody to pay attention, probably bold. However, I am totally a fan of the bold italicized.
Ooh. Double dipping.
I'm that
good. Ooh.
That's why I get shit. Because I will double down on that emphasis.
Shit. That must look amazing in Comic Sans.
Oh.
I very...
so angry right now. Because I have been that person, and I grew out of it. So fuck you.
I am, if I'm accentuating text, I am more likely to highlight or just capitalize. But italics for me are very specifically used for foreign words or quotes, usually.
Hmm.
Or movie titles or things like that, you know. So I will say bold is probably what I would use before. If those were my only two options to accentuate something, bold is how I would probably go.
I also use bold when I have a instructions or something. I will typically put in bold the bullet points, essentially, even if it's in the middle of the sentence of like, this is the part you really need to know without all the grammar surrounding it. So, bold.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question number two, soft or jiggly? Which would you choose if you had to enter one of the following two eating competitions? Marshmallow Peeps or Cherry Jello, assuming that diet and allergen-free options are available for each.
Well, Cherry Jello.
Peeps are disgusting, so Cherry Jello.
Also, I can have both.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Well, sugar-free for me, but...
I can have sugar-free. But
I'm the one who actually has the issue in this situation. So,
which is bask in,
I was going to say, bask in the glory of your normalcy, Jenna.
That's what normal feels like, because...
I wouldn't
Is this
know.
What normal feels like? Because is it in yet? Yeah.
I think... a marshmallow eating competition would be much more fun. I would be better at a jiggly eating competition, a jello eating competition.
Which did you choose, James?
I chose Marshmallow Peeps. I have done both, and I felt very sick after the Peeps, but I was physically ill for several hours after the jello eating contest.
Okay.
Probably because your body actually stopped you when you should have stopped.
I haven't stopped.
There's always room for jello, but it's not always inside you.
Next question.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Yeah, next question. Wet or dry? Which fest weather is harder for you? Deep puddles and occasional rain, or dusty and windy?
Dusty and windy. And here's what. I have all of the allergies, right? All of the outdoor allergies.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst place for me to be when it is dusty and dry is at the fencing booth.
Yep.
Because not only is it very dusty in that area due to the surrounding space, but because of my latex allergy,
yeah,
it is dusty and dry. It actually tends to pick up on some of that. And it just, like, I get worse earlier.
Yep.
And it's not. Yep. I don't like it.
If there's any precipitation at all, I can't do my show, so that.
Yep.
Because of that, yeah. Also, when there's puddles, I can go fishing.
There is that, yeah. Huh? I'm actually going to change my answer to dusty and dry. Because originally I was thinking if there's thunder and lightning, we can't fence. But I've definitely, like, comedically, I've hit my stride pretty hard on super gross rainy days.
Yeah. For me, it's like...
Oh, go ahead.
It's six one way, half a dozen the other. Because for dusty and dry days, I actually got to... When I first worked at the Renaissance Festival as a chocolate seller, I had bronchitis so bad that I started miming the orders and being faster than the other shopkeepers. Also, thank you very much, but they still told me that I had to stop and then I went to the hospital. Right. That's why I did Armina. That's why I actually, like, got out of that and went on cast, because they wouldn't let me clown. Anyways. But also for wet and rainy days, if I'm always a little, wary, because as much as I would love to go puddle jumping, I know about my body that I will get sick, and I will get sick bad. And then it does turn into bronchitis, and I work during the week.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Nope, that's fair. As an aside, Bryn, did I ever tell you that I met my baby daddy when he was working the chocolate booth?
No.
You didn't. Oh, yes. tangent.
Show?
What? My baby daddy used to work the chocolate cart over by bakery. Right. Yes.
Me too.
A good one. And I was walking by one day, and he holds out a chocolate rose, and he said, and I quote, "A sweet rose for a sweet lady."
Aww.
And he just gave me the rose. Now, he got into a fuck ton of trouble for that. However, I was back to that cart every single fucking day for the rest of the run. So he made that tenfold what he gave forward on that flip. I tell you what. And we have a baby end.
I met my one bad ex. My one evil ex there when I was working there. Oh. It's great. Anyways, was that our last question?
Oops, no.
What's our last question?
That was the most recent question. Question number four is silver, clear, or rainbow?
Right.
Is your car audio most often CD, radio, or from a device with a screen?
Device with a screen.
Radio.
Yeah. I threw that one in for you, Salsa.
So what is that?
Silver, CD, clear, radio, transmission, and then rainbow, the screen.
This is the esoteric one.
That's the one. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Question number 5, bone or bang, would you prefer a first date that happens at a Brazilian grill like Fogo or a huge magic show spectacular?
I want both.
You do know who we are. Like, is this likelihood or preference?
Preference.
I would spend all of the magic show trying to figure out how I know him, how the tricks were done, and half of them go, I know how it was done, and I just wouldn't have a good time. So, food.
That is entirely fair.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, so here's the deal. For me, a first date is very specific to the two individuals involved in that first date.
Mm-hmm. That.
If you do not know much about a person, that is when you do something like a movie or an event or something that gives you a shared commonality that you can then discuss later, preferably over food at Fogo. However, I do feel like if you're going to do an event, you should follow it up with something like coffee or food or whatever where you can have a conversation. Having just the event...
Mm-hmm.
is bullshit because you can't talk during a magic show or a movie or a whatever. And if a part of the purpose of the date is to get to know the other individual, then you need to be able to have conversation. So I'm going to go Fogo because I can talk to the person.
I think, like Jenna, you kind of took the words out of my mouth in that if it's like a date from like Bumble or OkCupid or something, and I don't actually know this person, I kind of want a screening process. So I'd rather do something like a magic show. And likelihood is I would know people at this magic show.
Right.
And then I would be able to converse with them and see what their temperature is for it.
Bless you.
Whereas, I've been trapped on that date at Fogo. I've been trapped on that date with food. Excuse me.
Godzilla. Support.
Excuse me. Thank you. Yes, I know. I know. Thank you, honey. Linguini is giving me a tight squeeze to show support. So I've been trapped on that date where there's nothing to do but talk to this boring-ass person who doesn't like awful. Superheroes.
Look, I said
doesn't
I was sorry.
Though? And so, I would definitely rather go to the magic show, because even if I don't like them, at least I can go watch a magic show.
I have a date I need to tell you guys about. So here's the thing. So I just said this thing about how if you don't know anything about the person, do an event. There is always an exception. if you, as a young teenager, and we're talking like 14, 15, decide to meet up with somebody that you met on the BBSs.
Oh my. In the dinosaur times.
Right. Before the internet. Before internet dating was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to meet up with a person on the BBSs, and you think to yourself, the safest and possibly best way to do this is at an event with a bunch of other people that I know. And so you all meet up at Valley Fair.
That's probably not the way to do that.
Actually, I think it probably would have been fine for a person that was a human being. However, this individual was not into Valley Fair.
Oh.
And so I was hanging out with a bunch of my friends and this dude. And decided to ride some of the rides. Like the teacups. Like Thunder Canyon. Like all of these, like, not... Like, oh my God, roller coastery type things, but still kind of chill ride things where you can have a conversation with where the ride is taking place or whatever.
Right.
And he spent the entire time with his arms crossed in front of him, grumpy as fuck. So I'm going to say I still would have rather the event where he was grumpy as opposed to like going out to dinner where he was grumpy. And
right.
Conversing. But like he wasn't talking at all, and this was an opportunity to also talk while events
were going. But in this scenario, you get to have fun whether he talks or not.
I just have this fucking anchor attached to my...
Oh,
that's fair.
And I'm just like, oh, buddy, would you give me anything? Anything. Fucking anything.
See, what's funny is...
Say a word. Say a fucking word.
What's funny is when I was in my, like, younger 20s, early 20s, I would have been, like, trying to stick with him and give him the benefit of the doubt. And now I'm like, I'd be like, okay, bye. I'm fucking, find me at 5 o'clock and I'll drive your ass home. But if you're not going to have fun.
Here's the worst part is that afterwards he sent me an email message thing because you can direct message people saying, hey, I had a really great time. We should do that again. And I was like, no. No, we really shouldn't.
Were you there?
I was just like, buddy, what?
I don't know if you were there, but you did not have a good time.
Well, that timely advice from Jenna.
Yeah, I literally had a date like that once.
All right. Was that all five of them?
That was all five.
All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. You know how it works. Who's got a shout-out?
Oh, my God. I have to give a shout-out to Joe today. And I know that's cheesy as fuck, and I know whatever, but goddamn, after the day I had and the way he was just there for me and willing to help, even though he had other things going on, and then when my car was impounded, he drove me over there, and he let me hang out at his house because I didn't want to fucking deal with my house. I have to give a shout-out to him.
Like, that's a solid one.
He's just so good to me, you guys. I gotta shout it out.
I'm gonna shout out to the poor fucking teachers and students who are put in this bullshit situation of having to go back to school.
Cheers.
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 Mm. I'm gonna give my shout out to Power Tools. Because if I had to do it the hand tool method, which I have in the past, shit takes forever. And there, don't get me wrong, is a certain amount of pride in doing some jobs with hand tools, but power tools are so great, guys. They're so great.
Agreed. My shout out is for Kirky. And for Allison. For Kirky, Kirky was an amazing co-host. We had as much of a blast as I think people sensibly can in that kind of situation. And then equal shout out to Allison, who effectively volunteered her time to be there and to be an audience, and to anybody who went and watched or who is going to go and watch, like, fucking thank you. Yeah, just, those
actually,
films.
It's super effective to watch after the fact as well. So like, go for
yeah.
it.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
But don't, but do.
But also don't. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, y'all. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked you.
Hmm?
That's why I was like, oh, shit. We should have a guest. We should have a break. Have a break.
Yeah. Green. And you got a bonus linguine.
Yeah.
Bonus linguine is also awesome.
Bonus linguine is my Frank Sinatra cover album.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a solid one. Does anybody have something to plug?
I don't have anything for me specifically to plug. However, I don't know if I've plugged this before. If I have, then ignore me or do it more.
Ignore me.
God damn it. I'm trying to pull it up and I'm too drunk. I'll just say it out loud and hopefully I'll find the link later. A friend of ours does dot art.
Yes.
I think it's J dot art?
Knight dot art.
Knight dot art. Okay. She does such incredible, like, dot focused art. She does earrings, and there's, most recently there were Minnesota shaped, and like there were some mugs.
Cute.
That she did dot art on. And she just does incredible fucking work. So knight.art, recommend. I think, is it knight.art.com?
Is this,
it's knight,
Caitlin, they, them?
N-I-T-E, knight.
N-I-T-E, yep.
Yeah, it's knight.art.com.
Yeah, go there, peruse her stuff. It's absolutely fantastic.
If you have trypophobia, beware. But otherwise, yes, it is absolutely gorgeous stuff.
So pretty. And unfortunately, like, I don't do earrings unless I do the other stuff. But
excuse me.
Godzilla.
Something I've been able to justify yet. But they're so creative. And I love seeing everything that she produces. Like, every single thing is just like, oh my God, that's amazing.
She will often do pieces inspired by other things. Like, if you send her a picture and are like, here's a picture of my prom dress with this color scheme, blah, 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 she'll be like, okay, and then a few days later she's got earrings that have that, like, color scheme and that kind of, like, oeuvre of whatever it is you're looking for, and it's fantastic.
It's so good. She's so fucking good at what she does. It's absolutely incredible. So go take a look if there's something you want. And just check her out. Like her stuff. Share it with your friends. Whatever. But it's really good. And
I'll post a link in the show notes.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Have y'all heard about this comedy company called Fearless?
Nope. Never heard of them.
What?
Okay, nope. Never mind.
Does anybody have final thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to say bye, I love you, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to James for the Fast Five. Thank you to Bryn for being our very special guest. As always, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.